you know, like a what is it, a snake oil salesman or whatever, is they're going to say a lot of things, but they're not going to say anything at all. And I shouldn't have hired them at first. I mean, they had no work to show.
Multicraft. If you go to Multicraft_daddy, Multicraft Daddy has been around for around 50 plus. Well, Multicraft Daddy, Multicraft Screen Printing, Digital Supplies, kind of same thing. They've been around for 50 plus years, providing the industry with competitive pricing. And Dave is always sending out really fun gifts, especially PMI tape, every single week to a lucky winner. DM him your email address. And yeah, he's great. He's actually, I connected him with a friend who just bought a shop in Chicago area. And so he went over there and set him up. And I know he's been supplying Campus Ink through all the craziness too, which you talked about.
Bruce, let's talk about EasyWay. EasyWay has a monthly giveaway program to give back to their amazing customers. Each month, they give away a $250 prize. It's super easy to enter. You go to easyway.com/giveaway. Make reclaiming screens a whole lot easier with EasyWay systems, chemicals, and equipment. Don't miss their giveaway. It's super easy to do. EasyWay is a staple in our industry, an amazing sponsor of the podcast. We all use them every single day. 842-701. We love the team at EasyWay. Thanks for making it so easy.
Stalls. Use the code when you go to stalls.com to order your next DTF transfer order. Hustler20. That's 20% off your next order. If you're ready to take your custom apparel to the next level, Stalls is the leader in heat printing solutions. Whether you're a small business just starting out or an established brand that's scaling, Stalls makes the hustle easier for you guys. They've got equipment, transfers, and support for your business. So head to stalls.com to get started.
We have been messing around with Flock from Stalls to put on hats. CadCut Flock, they saved the day on our headwear assortment for the Final Four. So thank you, Stalls. Speaking about saving the day, if you need a solution to improve efficiency and reduce costs in your art department, you should hit up Graphic Source. Graphic Source runs our art department at Campus Inc., and they have been grinding to do SEPs, mocks, creative art, you name it, getting files ready for DTF, digitizing. They plug and play with Printavo and other shop management software. There's no better company in our industry to work with. They have over 40 years in the game. They really know and understand shop needs and have a proven track record of success. Hit up Graphic Source for your art staffing needs. Mention the Printavo pod. You'll get 50% off your first vector, SEP, or embroidery order. Thanks so much to the Graphic Source team.
Alex Miners, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
I watched this. You've seen Steve-O, right? From Jackass, the show. Everyone kind of grew up in this age on that show. He does these podcasts from his van and he gets different guests in there as he like hops around all the place. And I was like, damn, that's kind of cool. So I got some equipment and this is test one. So the second test, I'm going to have you in person and we'll try it. We'll give it a roll.
Nice. Well, it sounds good. I mean, it makes sense.
You have always been such a builder of tools in your shop. And for folks who don't know, Alex is the co-founder of Family Industries, a shop based in LA. And shop is kind of a doing you guys a disservice almost because you do a lot. You guys are probably the leader, I would say, in the US, maybe even abroad, for live experiences and not just live printing. Live printing is almost an understatement, seeing what you guys have done on the experience front for everything from, you know, the US Open to you know, the Apple store recently and everything in between. But on top of that, you guys do custom bulk work too. And we've had Max on the show, who's your partner for a long time. And I wanted to have you on because every time I go to visit you guys, you are just hacking away at like really, really cool things. Thanks for taking the time. I'm excited to be able to talk with you. I got a ton of questions.
Yeah, I appreciate it. We are, it's funny you mentioned the shop because the shop kind of was like a byproduct of events. So the shop really started because people at events were asking us to do orders. So it went from an after work thing to all the time thing. So yeah, we're doing a lot.
Your guys' previous shop, which was a pretty standard, like what most folks would expect from a business, more specifically a print shop, you know, it's a little dimly lit and, you know, it's clean, but it's not, you know, super clean. And then the building that you guys have built, there's a shop tour actually up on YouTube. If you search just Printavo Family Industries shop tour, insane, right? This is like, it looks like a tech office of some sort. So yeah, it's definitely leveled up. All right, jumping into a lot of the tooling stuff, I had one I actually wanted to share because I thought this was really cool. So with Claude, we've talked about some of this AI tooling. You guys have historically done this before in AI world where I think you've hired engineers or brought on full-time engineers and have built a lot of custom tooling. Claude has a kind of product in their division called Code. So Claude Code, you may have heard of it. It's allowing people, we just had Jordan T over on from Fast Threads, and he's building his own solutions to help solve problems. And you just talk to this thing back and forth, and incrementally you can build solutions that you couldn't do a few years ago. Someone posted this on the Printavo users group, and I thought it was so cool. And I'll share my screen so you could see it too. But if you're listening on audio, it's called printgrid.inc. Ryan Lamb is the guy who started it, longtime Printavo user. And this thing is unbelievable. So he basically created a way to create profitable pricing matrices. Everyone knows you're kind of toying around when you're creating a pricing matrix, you're sort of guessing in a way. He asks a bunch of questions about your business, and then it outputs all the matrices that you need, which you can dump into Printavo or just use or print out for your team, whatever. I thought this was so cool. And an example that reminded me of having you on to be able to do something like this on your own. It's all you need. So he's selling this. It's $49, one-time fee. I don't see why you wouldn't give it a try to be able to help adjust your pricing as a business, but this is just one example, and I'm sure you have a million ones. What are you working on now?
So we're working on, well, it's funny looking at the price grid. I mean, that's something that, you know, our man Phil goes through and updates, you know, every year, and he's spent hours on that. So like, I'm sure if that existed when we started really diving into like custom pricing and stuff, would have saved him a ton of time. What aren't we working on right now? We've been working on getting some systems together to kind of get pricing to be on like a unified front, right? So Max has been working on some stuff. It's hard to explain, but currently we have basically set up a thing that will guide us to making quotes.
And even something back, like what is the problem that you guys are trying to solve for? It sounds like it's like inconsistent pricing, or it just takes forever to price.
Yeah, it's when you're dealing with a lot of doing things for a lot of events, there's variables everywhere. So things are constantly changing. You have airplane, I mean, right, for example, right now with the war in Iran, everything is going crazy. Carriers are starting to not come into LA. There's all these kind of, we live in a world of variables. So we have a system right now where we can input all of our different variables and it helps us price stuff. So rather than spending 3 hours on a quote, we can spend 15 minutes on a quote, and it references knowledge bases that we've had from previous things and kind of using AI to build like a loose database, but we're connected to APIs that know hotel costs, flight costs. It can link into, eventually it's going to link into our staffing. It's going to link into monday.com and Printavo. So we're pulling all, instead of having 17 windows open, we have one central hub that allows us to price something out accurately. I mean, I'm sure everybody's kind of worked on a quote where you have stuff in your head and you're kind of trying to remember certain things. This allows anybody who's pricing something out to start pricing it together. So it's very abstract, but essentially it's something to help with our quoting, because we have, I mean, last year, I think for event days, 600 event days. So you can imagine how many quotes that is. There's so much more than just what Printavo has. So this allows us to really price it out. If we need to change a variable, if we need to adjust something, it will just adjust things accordingly. So that if a city changes, it can help us figure out how the hotels are going to change, right?
And this is for the live printing side.
Yeah, this is for live. This is a big shift in how we were doing stuff, because you got to think about all the time that's wasted. So for example, if you have a salesperson, so we have Adam, right? Adam builds a lot of our events with Max. His skills are better used doing what he does, right? Like client relationships and figuring out how the event's going to go. But if you spend, you know, 5 hours a day building quotes and just kind of doing those things, you're going to lose that motivation to give the events the attention they need, right? So it's like, it kind of goes off into, I'm the behind the scenes guy that can like figure these things out. I'll fix a machine. I will build these systems together. And previously we've had to work with developers and we'd have to work with developers and they would build a team. And then if we came back and wanted to change something, that team didn't exist anymore. So you're always kind of starting at square one. And for me, that's always going to take the motivation away from the project that I'm trying to build.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because I remember you would hire these developers to custom build a lot of the live experience apps. So, you know, where people, you know, at a trade show, for example, can one click order something and then they get notified when it's ready, you know, and it handles some of the live experience at the back end and getting things ready. Cause you guys, I'm assuming, are so busy. This new app, was that process the same?
So this new app, this is actually a partnership. This is the first big thing that I've seen Max like unveil, right? And Claude Code AI, like agentic tooling, helps out a lot with being able to have a vision and put it together. Now, I always have an asterisk. Like people think like, oh, I can just kind of like talk to this machine and it will build something out. And although where it's at now, it is really good. But if you just have like a huge block of HTML and stuff on the front end, then you're loading API codes that anybody can just go into developer tools and see, right? So it's like a huge security risk. And like, for example, the pricing matrix software, like if you don't do it right, then all these Claude Code tools that people are making are super vulnerable, right? People don't understand about like deployment and keeping things running, and it will get over your head pretty fast. So when I do things, typically we'll build it out and then I will kind of break it apart, get it on a server, get it so that someone can't just stumble upon it. You want to password protect stuff. So it's moving so fast right now that it's kind of hard to have like a conversation on what exactly is happening. Before, we had an in-house app that was really cool. It was connected to Monday and it was connected to Printavo so that when my guys on the press, or girls on the press, or women on the press, whatever, if when they have an iPad on the machine and they'll go on and say, okay, I'm on press one. And so all the jobs for today will pop up on press one and it's connected to a Monday board. Then when you press the job, it will open the work order from Printavo. And then from there, you can open up all the PDFs. And the idea is to streamline all the searching for stuff. And that's kind of like what I wanted to get to before, is we spend so much time searching for stuff and clicking on stuff that you have little opportunities to get distracted. So before, the workflow would be, you have a web browser and someone goes on Monday and they see, okay, this is this job, this is the PO number. Then they go into Printavo and they type in the number and it loads, right? That's like 10 extra steps. And
so the app that you built is the one that's on the tablet, and that shows, hey, look, these are just the jobs for you to focus on today.
Yeah. And so our goal, and kind of a goal we've had for a long time, is like, how can you minimize clicks? How can you minimize keystrokes? And how can you get people to do the job that they're hired for? So going back to live, I would say that Adam isn't hired because he's an amazing like quote builder. You know, anybody can build a quote based on filling out different variables and adding it all up. His strengths is client relationship, building a great event, knowing what works on site, what flows work on site. That's why people hire us, because we're not just going to show up and be like, oh, I don't know how crowds move. You know, we show up and we know how crowds move. So if the client shows us a space and they say, hey, we're going to have a line that goes straight through this event, it's like, well, let's figure out crowd control a little bit more. It's about working more efficiently and not burning people out. You know, a salesperson can use a tool and not have to think about it so much, not have to like really. And if they need to adjust it, there's ways to adjust it. There's ways to, when you're looking at the software, you can say, okay, what if we fly out of this place rather than this other place? You know, so if you're going to DC, you can fly into BWI, or you can fly into National, or heaven forbid, you fly into Dulles, which you never want to do. But there's ways to make their skills shine brighter rather than getting burned out just doing this nuanced stuff that anybody can do.
That's how you guys view the software side, which is really smart. On the bulk side, I'm very curious, because I think that applies to a lot of folks, is, for example, the one on press, right? That app on press. How long have you guys been doing that, where something queues up your work to allow someone just to focus on these are the things that you got to get done today?
So we started building that. That was actually one of the first, that was one of the first Swift apps that I was a part of. And if you could go back to my notes and see the spider web, because you can't just talk to a, you really can't. I mean, it's very hard unless you pay a ton of money to go up to a developer and say, hey, I want this to do this. You know, they don't really think about it unless you give them a detailed, like high and low level list of exactly what you want. And so I had code examples. I was running APIs, API calls to Printavo and seeing what data would come back, like in the JSON, what data would come back.
And this is pre-AI Claude code stuff.
Oh, yeah. And it kind of also goes back to like screen printing. And when I was doing graphics, is I was taught by an old school guy. So I knew old file formats. And so I knew how to build stuff from like very, almost like an analog digital thing. Like there's some old files that are just, they might as well have actually been films. And so I kind of built it up and know what's possible. Now with AI, I still have my developers, because there's some projects that are, you wouldn't want to use AI for, because then you're just going to be explaining way too much, you know, and it's getting close. Having a good developer take your vision, especially if you can give very clear instructions, is an easier experience to get something built.
I think that's a really interesting point. If you want to build custom solutions for your business, which I think everyone has either the dream to do or already is doing, regardless of AI, is having to be extremely specific with your requests. So, you know, if you're hiring someone and it's just like maybe building an addition to your home or remodeling a bathroom, you can't just say, I want this to look really nice. You know, leave the sink here and the shower there and just make it a light color of sorts, right? It requires so much, unless you do want to spend 3x more, because they're going to have to go back and forth and the expectations are going to be different. I mean, you know, they will assume something that comes back to you and is incorrect that they then have to redo, and again, burns dollars very, very quickly. So being extremely, and that's what's called product managing, and really is just creating good specs, it's called, which is like the very detailed, you click on this, it looks like this. This is what happens. If there's an error, this is what happens, and so on.
I'm a lot less strict as far as UIs go for internal tooling. I am always open for interpretation, but when we're dealing with client-facing apps that we're going to have on site, that's where you do need to be super specific. So there's a lot of times where we're coming back and we're fixing just little nuanced things, or you know, a typeface that we install or a typeface that we load might all of a sudden be a little bit bolder. and you have no idea, and it's a total deal breaker. So the idea of building quality custom apps for clients, say Google, they're super specific on their brand identity, and there's a lot of nuanced things. If you know, they've got very specific fonts that they like to use. And if you show up on site and that font is slightly bolded out because something that's happening on the deployment side, it's like it's a deal breaker. It doesn't matter how well you do the event. All they're going to say is, hey, our branding was wrong. And so you have to know how to look for those things. And I think there's going to be a lot of people who are trying to push for scale deployment and try to sell software. And I think that they're going to get hit with reality really fast on how hard that is. That's why I haven't tried. I mean, we've had great ideas, but I've never really wanted to push selling something.
How do you find developers? I get that question a lot. Hey, we want to build this integration. We want to build this or that. You know, do I look on Upwork? A lot of times it's someone local that they say, hey, this guy can help. And I'm always a little bit red flaggy on the local guy who's, you know, maybe good at computers, but not really a software engineer or programmer. How'd you guys find it? What do you recommend for other people to start looking? Where can they find them?
So I look globally. I'm down for local, and we have some local teams, but what I've found is try to find it. It depends on how big your project is. And I've done some really big, kind of big nuanced apps. But what I've found is there's going to be a lot of companies that say, we are going to promise you everything. I would say, don't go with a company because they're going to have a lot more. They're going to have a lot more overhead, and they're also not going to have a dedicated team. So if you can have a relationship with like a single developer, and my two main guys who I've had a great relationship with for years, I mean, they're like at this point, I feel like they're like brothers. I mean, honestly, we're really, really close. And both of them, there was something about them, right? So like, I think I found them on Upwork years ago, and that's become really diluted. And
yeah, Upwork is kind of tricky.
Yeah. And the problem is now you might have people who are like, oh, I can do all these things, but they're just going to vibe code it, and it's going to be buggy, and they're not going to be able to fix it. I have constant support, and you know, if something goes wrong, we can get it up and running and fixed really fast. But they both didn't have any portfolios. And so I was saying, like, I was matched with them for some reason, and I started talking to them. But what it really was is it was kind of like a no BS pitch. And I knew already what software stack I wanted. There were some things that were like not mainstream that I needed because of certain features and certain JS libraries. And they both gave me a very clear path forward. And when a snake oil salesman or whatever, is they're going to say a lot of things, but they're not going to say anything at all. And so these two guys basically were like, I'm going to do this, 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 this. And it was done. And I shouldn't have hired them at first. I mean, they had no work to show.
So how do you vet someone well? Like, is it a test project? It sounds like that's sort of what happened, whereas you guys did something small together.
So it's always a test project. I met my first developer. We were making an inventory system for the warehouse, and it essentially was a QR code system, and the QR code's code was the item ID of a Monday pulse, right? So a line item on Monday, I took that ID and I assigned it to the QR code. So I put that code in, it generated a code. And essentially it was a way for us to check in live inventory. So when things come in, you scan a code and you can say like what condition it is, if it's broken, all these different variables, and then you can scan it to the location. So again, the location, which was the ID of a status inside of Monday, you could check in the item and then you could press scan to location, and then we scanned it. And that alone, despite us going through a lot of changes, that software that I had built for that would have been $60,000. I mean, it's a small customized thing. Like,
what do you mean would have been? That's how much it was?
Oh yeah. I mean,
how do you justify that? The 60K for it?
You don't. You just don't make software. So like that's what I'm saying with these companies. They'll charge you so much.
Okay. So the company with the overhead, which I have worked with both. And you're right. I think they both have pros and cons. Pros is that you can get someone who's vetted really well. If you can say, hey, I only want senior folks, for example, even if they want to try to put someone junior on it. But yes, con is it's expensive. You've got the overhead of a product manager plus the company's overhead plus, you know, the labor of the actual engineers.
Yeah. And what we found is, like I said, they really push you to get to the end of the project, even though, and with a lot of the apps that we do and a lot of the software we need, it's not straightforward. And if they'll miss things. So they'll miss like huge part. I mean, there was one time we were building an app for a t-shirt customization and they just missed the whole point. And we worked for months trying to get this certain project done. And at the end, they were just exporting a mock-up and not like a actual sublimated, like a sublimation file. And so I had spent months, and at the end, they're like, okay, we're done. And I was like, guys, you guys missed this huge part. And they had already let go of the graphics people. And like exporting graphics is a big thing. A lot of app developers want to do it all the UI and the back end, but there's no export. So like finding a good developer that knows how to export stuff or knows how to give you vectors or a system where you can print receipts and you can also print a graphic like at the end of an app to split.
What is the lesson learned from that then? Is it just skip the company? Like for people who want to get started, they have, you know, those are the AI tooling. They're like, oh, maybe I could try it myself, or maybe I should try to find someone. Is it just skip those company development firms because it would be so expensive and go direct to try to find a person?
I mean, it depends on what you were trying to do. I think that if someone is pushing a product to the public and selling it, especially if you're doing like a subscription based something, or you need to provide support in anything client facing, you're going to have to provide support. I would say go to a place that can support you, because you're not going to be able to do it on your own. You're not going to be, you know, answering tickets.
Yeah. It's like the tip of the iceberg if you're selling it. What if it's just internal though?
Well, if it's internal, I would say make it yourself and spend the time. But it is also frustrating because, for example, if we used Printavo, for example, because I feel like I have an intimate relationship with the Printavo API, and there are two APIs. So you have version one and version two. And if you're vibe coding something, there's some times where the answer is in another version, but you've spent 4 hours trying to make it happen in like the wrong API, or, you know, it's only as good. Like AI is not going to know the nuances of APIs everywhere. And if you want to make something good, you have to be able to know what it's actually capable of.
I will say the nice part though, is that the cost is, you know, these plans are maybe $100 a month. That gets you enough what's called tokens to allow the tool to be able to build and do stuff for you. If you're doing a lot of building, maybe 200 a month, but about $100 a month can get you really, really far. But yes, you're right. There is a lot of time. Somebody has to spend the time spent of back. It's almost like you're coaching an intern that's sitting next to you and you're telling them back and forth next what all the things that you want done.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the time. That's time and money. Like there's a lot of times that even owner operators will do stuff themselves because they don't have the time or patience to teach someone or like really spend the time on like explaining. I think a lot of the time people get, they don't know how to, anyways, it's the time and money thing. Like if you're going to sit there and try to explain to an AI for 6 hours and not get anywhere, then you're letting, you know, and especially if you're doing it all yourself, like you're not going to get the sales, you're not going to be able to get the product out, you're not going to be able to do those things. So in that time, it's better to hire a developer. Having the stuff on press for people to just be able to look at and not worry about logging in, and having it a really clean, stripped down version where it's job, PO, CAD, you know, and then you can zoom in. I mean, it's so much better than paper. It's updatable. Everything is current.
What else have you guys built on the bulk side and the wholesale side?
We are rolling out our inventory. It's a mix of, this is for the live department, but really it's adding on to that earlier one I talked about with QR code scanning and stuff like that. But it's almost like an inventory / logistics. So we've been in our test phase for a couple of weeks now. But basically it allows us to put in when gear is going to be picked up, when it's going to be shipped out, when it's coming back. So now when we schedule events, we can look in and say, okay, I need 5 lasers or I need whatever. You put in the date, you do all that stuff, and then it'll show you what's available. But not only that, if something's not available, it will tell you when it's coming back. And you can also say like, oh, okay, this is in New York, but it needs to go to Chicago. Like we can see all of that stuff and it makes it way easier. So also a salesperson can log on to this and say, am I going to have the equipment I need for this event that's happening, you know, in March or, you know, whatever, September, it's already.
Is it like, do you think, how do you approach what to spend time on wanting to build a custom solution for versus leaving it alone in Google Sheets, which I'm assuming probably was what I was using before Monday or something, versus third option, trying to buy a solution that can be able to help you do it. Now, obviously that's so specific to be able to check in equipment, check out equipment. So I'm guessing there's nothing out there, but how do you think about that when you're wandering around and wanting to make things better?
So there's a lot of times where there's something very specific that has messed up our flow. So we typically will find like a big problem, right? Like something is consistently happening. So one of the things was availability, like knowing what machines. I mean, we do so many events. Like if you don't organize that, you're going to find yourself like all of a sudden there's an event that's happening in 2 days and we don't have equipment. Then there is no time to buy equipment. You know, we have to know months in advance what equipment we have at our fingertips. And what we are finding is there are a lot of inventory softwares, but there's not a lot of inventory software where things go and come back. So it's almost like a check-in, check-out kind of solution. And the things that we were looking at were either super expensive. They limited the amount of items that you can have, right? So you get bumped up into these. They bring you in. It's almost like the old, like the first time is free kind of thing where they bring you in, they help you onboard, everything is good. And then once you're locked in, you go above 200 and then they say, oh, well, you have 200 items here. You want 700 items. We can do that. But now you're in this next tier. And then you think about it yearly.
So it's like a cost. Part of it is a cost thing, it sounds like. And then part of it is also a, hey, we screwed up. Can we build something around this?
Yeah. Well, we've tried out of the box solutions. And a lot of the times they're just so limited. I mean, the reason why we started making in-house tooling is exactly that. But we had to be specific. Like, can we exist the way we are now without the tool? How much time and effort and like the error rate is it going to save us? And then what we were doing is we were saying, okay, so we have that idea. And now we have to look at the software and we have to say, okay, how limited is this software? What's the best? Like it was a Goldilocks thing. We were never in the middle. It was either it's way too many features that we're never going to use or it's too limited. And so we started building smaller tools and not even just the custom apps. I mean, the custom apps are, it's you start from the bottom each time. Like we don't have templates. Like we are constantly building from the ground up. But now internally, we can make, for example, the quoter that we're working on, that goes to Monday and Printavo and exports to the client. Like it does a ton of stuff and it saves a ton of time.
Wow. What about like quoting on bulk screen printing stuff? Time consuming still, maybe not as much variables. You know, you're talking flights and hotels and equipment and all this other stuff, but still time consuming, you know, as it flows through artwork, back and forth, messaging and so on. Have you thought about there, worked on things there?
It's funny. It seems like there are things. So there is tooling as far as like searching capabilities and like, and sourcing that would really be helpful. And we've connected some dots with that. We haven't fully dived in. Like I said, it's all new and it really is working now. Whereas before, code was messy. And now things like Claude Code, like, and you've seen it in the past couple of months, it's like, it's actually working. I 4 years ago, had a terminal based something that could actually take control of the computer and write code. So I've been on the kind of the front of it for a long time, but it crashed all the time. So now it's great because you can build whatever you want when you want it. But I just caution people, test. Because if you're building like a something that controls your books or something that goes out to clients or whatever, it will take only a couple of times before people see, oh, they're not doing anything. This is all, even if you are doing the work, even if it's just a automated process, if clients feel like they're becoming automated or you're automating them, you know, they're not going to like that. And so what we do is definitely more hybrid. I mean, I get help with certain things, but
what would you like to try to automate on the screen printing side of the business? What's like the top one?
I don't know. I'm honestly in the live, so my life exists for the on-site software, but
yeah, you guys are so deep on the live side right now.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I mean, honestly, what it probably would be is to have a system that can see the day and a zoomed out approach and know all of, and I don't know how you would do this, but like the nuanced thing. So it's like, okay, finding what job on what press at the right time, knowing what is in, knowing what set, like being super efficient with how things are set up. And we do a good job now, but it really like linchpins on the person who's calling the shots on the jobs. You know, like we have Kat on the floor and she does such a great job and I wouldn't want to like automate her out, but I would want to, it would be great if she could have the tools where, you know what I mean? Like make the floor as efficient as possible, like super, super efficient rather than like there are days where something goes on press and it's not. And this has been limited again. And this is because of software. Like we had a plugin for Printavo that really helps us with checking stuff in and knowing what's good and giving people notifications if there's three garments missing and putting like a slight hold on it and being able to do these things. Like we haven't automated them, but we've added on to make things more efficient.
It's cool. So that dream app would just essentially make sure everything's ready.
Yeah. Yeah. Ready. And like, and, but also to know, like if someone calls out, like say someone calls out and they're really fast at doing this one thing, like that system would know and be like, all right, maybe we won't run this job right now. Maybe we'll save it for tomorrow and I'll add these three things in. But that kind of brain power, like, it will burn you out. So like, if you have like, say you're already having a slow day or you're already stressed out, and then you have to switch from getting this job on press and getting it out or helping someone on press to then going to this admin side and figuring out what jobs we should put in place of this other job, like that's going to burn you out. And I don't believe multitasking is a real thing. I think that that is something that we tell ourselves we can do, but the quality of work drops. And so like working late at night, you know, so you're up till 2 a.m, but could you just go to bed on time and wake up 2 hours earlier? You'll probably have better quality because you're starting fresh. Having someone like in the art department, if they're doing, you know, separations or they're doing a CAD, and all of a sudden you interrupt them and say, hey, can you do this mock-up? When they go back to the CAD, they're going to miss something. Like something is going to mess up. And also their brain switching. Like I think that eliminating shifting tasks is huge. And I think through automation, you can do that. Just better workflows.
I like that. Last question is, if you're helping, let's say you're consulting a shop, sub $1 million in sales shop, you know, maybe 500K, 750K or so, and they want to start to get into creating a custom solution to help a piece of their business, where would you advise them to look, right? Because I think at that stage is tough. You have to do so much, yet you have to manage people at the same time still before you can really kind of crawl to the next stage where you're starting to manage people that manage the others. Is there an area that you think could be helpful around a custom solution and they could start poking around on the weekend on the Claude code to try to help them?
We had talked a while ago about the, I think this exact question, if I'm getting it right, but I think looking into an AI assistant at that level. So like from what I'm understanding, like say it is an owner operator, say it's like an owner that does most of the sales, but is also a very good printer. So they're helping in the back and stuff like that. Having an AI assistant, and Claude Code does it. OpenClaw was one that I was messing with. I'm not a huge fan of OpenClaw, but I don't think it's there. But if you did use like Cowork or something like that, basically have an AI assistant that can look through your, that can keep an eye on your email and connect it to like a messaging app or something like that, right? I think what happens with shops at that scale is that the owners try to do too much and then they miss stuff. So a lot of the feedback that I've got here in LA, and when we're for example, my girls' schools or my friend's sports team, you know, they're always telling stories about like, yeah, the guy is cool, but like he doesn't get back to me. And I feel like, you know, he's not explaining pricing. Like we needed to add another jersey on, but he didn't tell us that it was going to be a whole new setup and it was going to be $50. And that's stuff that you and I know, like, yeah, well, if you didn't order it and we tore everything down, of course, it's going to be more expensive because it's a single piece. But if you can kind of keep your communication at 100%, so you have an AI assistant that's looking through your emails and can kind of help you know the level of important. Like, for example, you have an AI assistant that is always looking out for like correspondence and could cross-reference due dates, right? So it knows, it can say, oh, Jessica's hitting me up. Her order is due tomorrow, or it's on press tomorrow. That way you can prioritize her, because what if she in the last minute is saying, hey, I need to add 5 shirts, but you are in the back doing something, you miss Jessica's order, you print her job, and then you go back the next day and you're like, oh my God, she hit me up yesterday. Like if you don't have someone to help you in the office, an AI assistant is huge to do these small things to make your life better. I have an AI assistant that gives me a rundown of just like high level invoices to kind of see how much we did the day before. But then it also shows me what is on schedule on Monday, like on monday.com, what we have scheduled. So I can see, okay, we have 12 jobs for each press today. And just like a high level thing that shows you, hey, this is the stuff you should look out to. And now it's starting to do stuff where it's saying, you have an app due on Thursday. Next week, you only have two apps. Like it's populating all these things that I would spend time searching for. And I can tell you, your quality of life is so much better if you don't have to spend every morning searching through the same monotonous stuff. Like, people are going to burn out.
I really like the thought of, we're not automating it away. I think that's very difficult and probably not possible, but like, can I eliminate 80% of the time spent on this task? Very possible. Very possible. The searching, pulling it up, formatting it together, you know, opening two tabs and looking back and forth and so on. And Claude Cowork is incredible at doing some of this stuff right now. So that's really cool. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah, of course. And I unfortunately have the habit of staying up too late and building my own because I just like to know how it works. So like building my own AI assistant with my own scripts and my own folders and all this stuff. But the stuff I spent like 3 months on, Cowork was just like, did it. You know, it's moving so fast.
Alex, can people reach out to your email? Can you share it?
Yeah, alex@familyindustries.com. And I'm willing to talk to anybody. And sorry if I seemed a little scrambled, but where everything is moving so fast and I'm building so many things and a part of things that I just get caught in my head because there's like three ideas that happen. But yeah, if anybody has any questions about, especially, you know, using AI smartly and automations, I'm down to help.
Love it. Alex Miners from Family Industries. Printhousers, we appreciate you guys joining us every single week. We're excited to see you on the next one. Have a good one. Thanks so much for listening. Hopefully that was informative. Don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to like. Don't forget to hit the bell for notifications if you enjoyed this video. If you enjoy all the stuff we're putting out, it's really helpful. We love to just be able to see it. That means that we're doing a good job. To subscribe, hit the bell for notifications and hit the like button. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.